Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. And we just did a show. Was the 25th show on Sacred Purpose Trusts, and we talked about a number of things that have been coming up in the news and also on Facebook and other places, and the idea that public education is free in this country, like in Norway or Denmark, and we gave several examples. And the fact is that these public educational systems are not based on giving you a free education. There used to be free education in the United States. Harvard, you didn't have to pay tuition if you couldn't afford it, and you could still go to the school. And the reason why is because people got together and they paid the tuition. They gave money to the school, donations, so that the school could provide education, and they had to keep their grades up. They didn't get free education simply because they were poor. They got it because they were industrious, hardworking, willing to be students. Unfortunately, were also poor and didn't have the money for tuition, so they didn't have to pay. And so that was free education, because the contributions that paid for that education were the result of free will offerings of the people, for the people, by the people, in charity, in hope, and in faith. And it produced a different kind of Harvard than you have today. Today you have a socialist Harvard and socialist other schools. I mean, theoretically, Harvard is a private educational system, but it's really not anymore, because the whole nation is a socialist nation. And we started the program that we just did talking about trusts and what trusts are and the principles of trust, because those play out in the principle of the Kingdom of God, because God trusts you. He gives you dominion of this planet, and he says, dress it and keep it. And those are the terms of the trust. He says, don't do this using the tree of knowledge, but use the tree of life, which really equates to the Holy Spirit, which has always been around. You know, one of the interesting connections between the New Testament and the Old Testament is God formed man from something called Adama, and we translate that clay, but somehow or other a man was formed different than Adama, whatever Adama is, if that is really clay, because see, Hebrew words often have multiple meanings. I mean, the word honor is the same word for liver. And the same word for reins, as in reins of a horse, is the word for kidney. And so there's a lot of confusion when you say he formed it from Adama. You might think that he actually was sitting on the riverbank forming man out of clay. And when he says have altars of clay or earth, depending on who's translating your Bible for you, that's actually altars of Adama. And, you know, of course, some people who want to read the Bible and come up with absolute private interpretations and say, oh, yeah, when they say naked, they mean they didn't have any clothes on, when actually naked could very easily, according to the Hebrew language, mean they didn't have any authority. They were naked. The Levites were naked. And the people had to make them linen underwear. Was it really about underwear, or they had no authority? You see, they ran a government entirely with free will offerings, because they could not force the sacrifices of the people. It wasn't that kind of government, which is really interesting, because that's exactly the kind of government that Jesus Christ describes. You are not to be like the other governments when he said, I appoint unto you a kingdom. He said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from the Pharisees. He said, I'm going to appoint it to those who will bear fruit. He said that the Corban of the Pharisees, which at that time was compelled offerings, because you were members of a trust called Mammon in some places of the Bible, called Corban in other places in the Bible, which produced a treasury, which is also the word Corbin is translated into treasury, which was a part of the gastophon, or the royal treasury, where Jesus is seen instructing the ministers of the treasury and how to run things. And it's all in the Bible. But your private interpreters have come up and said, oh, don't pay any attention to that. Don't look behind the curtain. And they keep you from understanding what the Bible is really talking about. John the Baptist was clear. You know, until John the Baptist, people were pressing in to the kingdom of heaven. The problem is the word heaven there, Ouranos, according to Greek scholars, the best translation of Ouranos is not what we use as the word heaven, but the word world. There is no word in the English language to translate Ouranos into. The theologians often translate it heaven, but the Greek scholars would often translate it world, because it means, and this is right in your concordance, your religious concordance, the word means the vaulted ceiling of the earth, the vaulted outer atmosphere of the earth, what you look up and see all the way down to the center of the earth, everything that it contains. So that outer atmosphere where the ozone layer is, etc., or isn't anymore, is the vaulted ceiling, the limit of this sphere we call Earth. And everything contained in that vault is Ouranos. Now, Paul talks about Ouranos and talks about a third heaven, which he's talking about beyond this vaulted capsule we call Earth. So anyway, once you understand that, when you see in the Greek text the kingdom of heaven, which is also the same as the kingdom of God, the dominion of God, they're talking about earth. They're talking about the heavens, the sky where planes fly, and they're talking about the earth where cars drive, and they're talking about under the earth where machines are boring out big hollow spaces in the earth now. It used to be that this idea that there was a machine that could just bore right through solid rock and create a tunnel was believed to be some sort of conspiracy fictional thing, but now we actually have them on video. They admit them. I know people who actually work in them, and they're boring these tunnels all underneath the earth for miles and miles. The tunnel going across the English Channel, all these things, they've got them in Switzerland, all through the mountains, these dens under the earth, which of course are prophesied in the Bible, that the kings will be hiding in these when the calamity comes. And they even talk about it in movies, like, I think it was Deep Impact, that they're going to make some space for just the average citizen, and you'll get chosen because of your social security number in a random lottery as to whether or not you will be permitted in these secret hiding places that will keep you safe and secure. But will they? Because the Bible talks about people wanting the mountains and the earth to fall down upon them when they're in these places, because it's so frightening. Because there's, besides the calamities that will take place on the surface of the planet, there will be calamities that take place under the planet and in the planet, because the whole planet will be shaking. And so it'll be kind of frightening, especially if you're under the ground with tons and tons of rock above you. But anyway, they're going to make their plans. Well, what plans are you making? Why don't you make the plan to follow Christ? Find out what Christ was really talking about. And don't get mired down in all these private interpretations of the Bible. Now, of course, now anything I tell you about the Bible is my private observations. Maybe they're the result of the Holy Spirit, but maybe I'm just a total wacko. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. And if that be the case, you're going to want to not listen to what I have to say, but you could listen to what I have to say and then pray about it in your own heart and let God write His laws upon your heart and upon your mind. From the beginning, the good shepherd, Cain and Abel. Abel was the good shepherd. If you understand sheep, you do not force sheep up a chute or down an alleyway. They will balk. They will resist. if you force them. But if you encourage them, get them to think it's their idea, and hopefully it is their idea, they will go. They will come when you follow them. We just had a calf that was wandering out in the field on the church property, and its mother was nowhere around. So we put it in a pen near where it was at, which actually is a garden spot. And we put them in there, and we waited for the mother to come back and look for them. Because if we just let them go, we could lose them altogether. You can't find them out there. So anyway, the mother didn't come looking for him. He didn't even move for the mother. There was something wrong. Where's this mother to the calf? And so my son eventually loaded him up in the pickup and took him out, you know, kind of hobbled him so he wouldn't run off. And we took him out into the field, and I went out around the cows. I happened to be at the other end of the field pulling ditches. And so anyway, I went around the cows and moved the cows towards the pickup, and eventually got all the cows over there near that pickup. There's not a lot of cows, but the few church cows. And they were all, you know, 25 cows were milling around the pickup, and the calf was there, and the calf was kind of mooing, but no mother came to it. And so we eventually just let the calf go amongst the cows, and he just went around from mother to mother stealing. So this, the only reason this calf was alive is because it was going up and take what we call stealing. It was taking a little suck from this mother until the mother realized that's not my calf, and then taking a little suck from this mother until the mother realized this is not my calf, and that's how it was staying alive. It was just taking. So anyway, we couldn't find the mother. So either a mother completely rejected it, which is unlikely. The mother died, which is possible because there was a heifer that died. And the third possibility was that it's a twin. And it kind of looked like a twin out of another cow, but it was a little bit smaller than the calf that was on it. And that cow just can't count to two. It can only count to one. And this is always the trick. We've had cows that have twins to get that cow to count to two, because it's looking for its calf. It finds its calf, and it doesn't want to find number two. That's that just doesn't do it. Now, we've had plenty of cows that have raised both calves, but evidently this cow's mother was nowhere to be found, and so we brought it home. But and it's very fond of us. It comes right to us and everything, because we're feeding it, and we're feeding it milk that we had saved from colostrum first, that we had saved from an old dairy cow, and we'd froze it. And fortunately, our dairy cow is about to have another calf. When that happens, she will easily raise two calves, because she produces far more milk than one calf can produce. And she'll actually produce enough milk for us and my granddaughter, who lives next door, and for two calves. It won't be a problem for that dairy cow. It's only half dairy, but it produces pretty good milk, especially at first. So anyway, the point is that there is a pattern to how things go in the universe. And there are literally spiritual powers that move in our universe, and we are given dominion over this earth from the beginning. This was part of God's plan, and we were to dress it and keep it, take care of it, maintain it, create balance in it. That's our job, and that's what they're describing in the Bible when he says that he gave Adam this dominion. And Adam is what he's called because he's this living clay. And the point I was going to make to connect the Old Testament and the New Testament is God breathed into Adam this altered Adama that God changed. And Adam was given dominion from generation to generation. The generations of Adam were given dominion. That's a responsibility. He didn't give you the right to rule over and club people over the head like Cain did. Cain had to go out of the presence of God in order to do this. He had to do something different than what God wanted him to do. He had to act according and against the will of God. And of course, that's partly what Adam did, because Adam was not to make choices based upon the tree of knowledge, but was to eat of the tree of life. Okay, jump forward thousands of years. Man has been sinning, but long comes Jesus Christ. Long comes John the Baptist before him and says, if you have a need, fulfill that need. Those of you who have, share with those that don't have enough. Do this in clothing, do this in meats, do this in shelter, do this by free will choice. Not an unusual theme. It's actually the theme of Moses. Love one another as you love yourself. Care about the next person as much as you care about yourself. Created a whole government based on free will offerings. Interesting approach to the problems of the world. And so that was how John the Baptist said to do it. That's clearly how Jesus said to do it. You read in Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Means all the governments on this planet, within the vaulted ceiling of the heavens, all the way down to the core of the earth, all the governments that were operating, suffereth violence. And the violent try to take it by force, establish it by force. Not free will offerings, forced offerings. And they force their neighbor to pay into the treasury, and their neighbor forces them to pay into the treasury, and each neighbor is forcing one another. This is a spiritual principle with a physical reality. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So this suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Do we see that anywhere else in the Bible? That idea. Well, actually we do. In Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets. That's what he said. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. That was what it said in Matthew 11:12. But in Luke 16:16, it says the law and all the prophets were until John. Since the time the kingdom of God is preached, same he said kingdom of heaven in Matthew, but in Luke they're saying kingdom of God is preached, that every man presseth into it. What is he talking about? Well, those are the same words we saw in Matthew 11:12, talking about suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. He's using the same word. That word only appears in these two verses in the Bible, only in relation to John the Baptist, the prophets, and the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. The law and the prophets were until John, since the time of the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. In other words, establish it by force. The word suffereth violence and presseth are from the same word in the Greek, biazo, meaning to use force, to apply force. You do that. You want your free education and you apply force to force your neighbor. You will take your neighbor's house away from him if he does not contribute to your public educational system, because most places they provide your so-called free education by taxing the homes, the houses of your neighbor. They have to pay in. It's very simple. That's the law. You've decided to operate that way. to go that way. And that way is out of the presence of God. I know that's a huge idea to accept. But tell me, what part of covetousness do you not understand? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, his house, his servants, his oxen, his sheep, anything that is thy neighbor's. You don't want to take that from him. If you do want to take it from him to get what you want, that's called coveting. It's not called stealing. Stealing's another thing. Stealing is when you break in and steal. This is where you create a system where you have a legal right, a connected right, a contractual right to take away from your neighbor to provide for your needs, your government, your kingdom of your God, small g God, your kingdom of Uranus, your kingdom on this planet. You've set up a system where you have men who call themselves benefactors, but they are not really benefactors. They just call them because they exercise authority one over another. And you participate in this. And you pray to the gods of that system that they provide you with free education. And we showed in the last show that it's not really free, that those children in Norway are born 100,000 plus something in debt. And the children of Denmark are born almost $30,000 in debt. And the children in the United States are born $58,000, $59,000, almost $60,000 in debt. And they remain in debt all their life and have to pay in to pay the interest on this debt forever and ever and ever until the day they die. And the debt is going up everywhere. And they are in bondage. You know, somebody was writing, Larry Beecraft, who's an attorney, who's kind of a constitutional attorney, was writing about people who say, oh, America is still part of the British Empire. And I understand the rationale, although they make some errors there. But, you know, and everything is owned by the Vatican and all these kinds of things. And there is a lot of truth in some of the things that they use to reason this out. But in talking about all this conspiracy theory, they miss the simplicity of the gospel. You have to stop wanting to take from your neighbor to provide for you a free education, free health care, free social welfare, free, you know, whatever, food stamps, whatever. You have to stop coveting your neighbor's goods. And when you do stop doing that, that's called repentance. You're changing the way of thinking. Now you have to also change the way of doing. Now you can provide all those necessary benefits that are really necessary, because all the benefits aren't necessary. A lot of people are made weak by all the benefits they get. Socialism always leads to things like communism and despotism. So anyway, what we're talking about is this unrighteous mammon. And we talked about that in the last show to some degree. Your free will offerings at the altars of clay and altars of stone of ancient times of Abraham and Moses. Those were living altars, and we explain how that language works, that a gathering of stone is a gathering of friends. So this is part of that repentance, is to turn around and form a sacred purpose trust that will help take care of the needy of your society, truly needy. Not the lazy, not the irresponsible, not the sluts, not the immoral, and the depraved, and the abusers, and the backbiters. We're not to have anything to do with them. They can go to the kingdoms of the world. But in the church, we're supposed to be taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. Problem is today, now, when you go out to all these churches who say they love Jesus, they also love the men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. We really need to take a break right now, and I'll connect that Old and New Testament in the strangest of ways when we come back.
Things
seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of righteousness, and the king of that kingdom, Jesus Christ. And we're also talking about Adama, who God breathed into him, which is usually breath and spirit are associated. He breathed a certain spirit into him so that he would receive that spirit. And we see in John 20:20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. People worry about the fact that the church is incorporated to the state. And of course, as soon as you incorporate to the state, you are no longer a part of any other previous incorporation that you were a part of. So therefore, you can't be a part of the body of Christ, which is the corpus of Christ, the corporation of Christ. The church is the appointed corporation of Christ, but it's his corporation. Remember, a corporation is two or more people gathered together for a particular purpose as if they were one person, one body, in one accord. That's what the church was. But it's under a pre-existing authority, Christ, that stems all the way back to David. And actually goes all the way back to Melchizedek, which goes all the way back to Shem, which goes all the way back to Noah, which goes all the way back to the beginning, and Adam. So that's the corporation of God, is the church. Just like all governments have a corporate aspect to their existence. They are a body politic, a corporate politic. The United States was such a corporation. People argue that. Some people I actually have a great deal of respect for. They argue that. But there really isn't any argument. The Supreme Court ruled that almost right away. I've quoted the cases before, and I won't burden you with that. But the United States government is a corporation. But the people were not a party to it. Go read Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. And it shows you the court cases. It's all in the footnotes. The United States government is this corporate entity that the people weren't a party to. It wasn't put to a vote of the people. So therefore, the Constitution really had nothing to do with the people. the Bill of Rights was to say that the people could retain their rights. It was actually created by the states, and we the people refer to the members of the corporation. That constitution is the bylaws of the corporation, and they created a body politic composed of senators and congressmen and other federal employees. But that was way back in the 1700s. Today, the people are a party to the Constitution, but they aren't the controlling party, at least as much as they would like to think. Collectively, they are, but collectively, they can't get into one accord because half of them, more than half of them, are greedy, selfish, pharisaical, apostate Christians, and a lot of other religions. And they take a bite out of one another because they have this socialist spirit of coveting their neighbor's goods. The spirit of covetousness is strong in them, and they want their benefits. And see, I come along and I'm saying, make straight the way of the Lord. And the way of the Lord is faith, hope, and charity. Back to what I was saying before. And he goes on, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted upon them. And whosoever sin ye retain, they are retained. Now, that's a mysterious statement. A lot of people think that that means that we have the power to forgive sins. And there is a power in those who will receive that Holy Spirit. But God is really the forgiver of sins. But if you receive the Holy Spirit, sins may be forgiven through that Spirit. But if you go back and eat of the tree of knowledge instead of the tree of life, instead of the Holy Spirit, well, then something else is going to take place. And anyway, the other disciples therefore said unto him, and that's an interesting statement in itself. He says, but Thomas, one of the 12, had called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, that except I shall put my hands in the holes that the nails made, in my fingers, in the prints of those nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. And we have that scene of Thomas having to actually see Jesus. Now, of course, a lot of people who aren't Christians don't believe that story, and they think that the Bible is all a lie. And I know why some of them think that. It's because so many of the Christians are liars. They are not following the ways of Christ. And they are hypocrites. And you know what Jesus says about, woe unto you hypocrites. They actually have set up a system of Corbin, a system of social welfare, that is based on force and is run by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. They have a little token charity within their churches, but they are false Christians. They have a lot of emotion there, which they mistake for the Holy Spirit. And they can actually get in big crowds and get people all worked up, and then they can actually apparently heal people. And even sometimes apparently cast out demons. Somebody sent me a video of somebody supposedly casting out demons in their church, and they had this guy rolling around on the floor, supposedly having a demon cast out, and suddenly he gets a phone call, and he puts his hand up, and he answers, hi, Mom, and, you know, on his cell phone. And then he immediately wants to go back into pretending to have this demon kicked out. They love that. They're the center of attention for a moment. It's all fake. I used to have a friend who would go into these churches where people were speaking in tongues, and then somebody would jump up and they would interpret what that individual was saying, and of course normally everybody goes along with it, but my friend was faking it. He could fake speaking in tongues. And he would say, you know, this is very interesting that they're interpreting my speaking in tongues, but I was making that up to make a point that you are all strongly deceived in here, thinking that you are speaking in tongues and speaking in the language of angels. You know, I was dealing with a fellow who's over there in Australia. And he sees a lot of things, but he's very angry. You can hear it in his voice all the time. Although he puts on a nice show for being happy and forgiving and all this stuff, but he's supposedly so outspoken. But he is picking from the tree of knowledge tremendously, and it's stifling his ability, his spirit. Because, see, if you do that, you're going out of the presence of God. You're breaking the contract. Now, I use information from the tree of knowledge all the time, but it's just to counterbalance all the tree of knowledge information you already have. You see, because when you pluck from the tree of knowledge, you're only plucking from these branches over here and these branches over here, and you get bits and pieces of the tree of knowledge. And if you use that as a source to make your decisions instead of the Holy Spirit, you will be easily deceived and you will be led astray. And this is what happens over and over again. You get bits and pieces of the puzzle. And you may even have a genuine desire to do the will of God, but you're picking from the tree of knowledge and not really following the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not an emotional, all excited, worked up spirit. It is a still, small voice. And you have to learn to quiet that mental capacity, that brain that's racing around, giving you all kinds of ideas and eschatologies and philosophies and theologies, and start just listening to what God has to say, because he wants to write the laws upon your heart and upon your mind. So anyway, that's what you need to receive, is the breath of God, and believe by that, not by the knowledge of men, but by the breath of God breathed into you, just like Adam, just like the apostles. And then you begin to walk in the ways of God. But see, so many people, I mean, it's really easy to understand that your free education is brought to you by men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other, over your neighbor and over the people in your community, forcing them, whether they have children or not, to pay for your education. And all these systems have gone into debt doing this. So your children are born in debt, born in the bondage of debt. And you owe men much. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. See, if you were actually loving one another, you could still be paying that tuition like you used to do in all the schools in the United States and America and all over the world and many places, by free will offerings, by love offerings, by people choosing to keep the school alive. And I can tell you what, there will be a repercussion to that. You're going to have people, at least amongst righteous people, really making sure that those schools are teaching the truth. You see, because they aren't. You know, and I've written lots on that subject. There's audios on that subject, that there have been people who have crept into your educational system and altered the truth. First, they did it by omission. They simply left things out of your history books. Now, they don't even teach history. They teach social studies. And if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And of course, that's exactly what's happened, is that you have followed after the ways of Caesar and not the ways of Christ. You have more in common with Herod the Great than you have in common with Jesus Christ. I mean, millions upon millions of children are slain in your streets, in the wombs of your daughters and wives and girlfriends, unfortunately. Millions of them are slain. Your sin is far greater than Herod's, far greater than Pharaoh's, and you do it every day. Not only that, you slay the liberty of your children by putting them deeper and deeper into debt, because you won't come together and help educate one another, your children, through free will offerings and love, like we used to do in this country when we were rising to greatness. Now we are plummeting into a sea of debt and economic destruction. And there isn't anything that you're going to do to change that unless you change as an individual. So anyway, we talked in the previous shows, and we touched on it a little bit, about this idea of this royal treasury that was funded by no longer free will offerings, but by forced offerings. And Jesus was pointing out how he would sit there and watch them do this and explain how the offering should be made, free will, under the perfect law of liberty, something Paul talks about. And see, once you understand that this is what Christians were doing, they were taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity in that perfect law of liberty. When Jesus said, we are the children of God, we are part of his congregation, he's talking about them. He's not talking about you guys who are out there forcing your neighbors to contribute to your welfare through your free education. And they put these things up on the internet about, oh, she's going to actually graduate in Denmark with savings, not debt. No, she's going to be in debt too. They're just subsidizing that education through men who call themselves benefactors. Now, this is a huge thing, but yet it's such a simple thing. You are part of a false religion. You have to repent of that. So what are you going to do? You have to start gathering together with others who want to start helping you. And this, of course, is going to mean homeschooling, home education, but you'll gather together to expand that education, helping one another, teaching one another, sharing your curriculums and what's working for you. You don't know how to teach your children at home, many of you. And those of you who are teaching your children at home have learned a great deal in that process, undoubtedly, and probably can learn more. And your children will be better equipped to teach their children because they have seen it done with themselves. I put a thing up on our Facebook page. I don't manage the His Holy Church Facebook page, but I have a personal Facebook page. And I pointed out that, you know, it was Mother's Day. And by the end of it, I went and pulled some pictures out of my archive of my own mother. And I said, before your mom was your mom, she probably had a life of her own. And I have a picture of my mom out there in front of a plane that she was learning to fly when she was a young girl. She had worked her way through high school as a hairdresser. And then she had gone to Minneapolis and worked there. And I think she was in a Wisconsin airport or something, which was just grassy fields in those days. But it was a really nice looking single wing plane there that she had in the background of the picture. But she's wearing those riding bloomers that you used to see people like Lindbergh wearing and stuff, you know. I never really understood those, but that was part of the pants that they wore for riding. And of course, planes, I guess, was riding too, so they wore them. Anyway, it was more becoming for a woman if she was going to wear pants to wear those kind of baggy bloomer type pants. But anyway, she's very attractive, and she was standing there, and that's the first picture. And then I had another picture of her as a teenager, I think, or maybe she was 20 by then. But and then a picture of her and my dad when they got married, and he's in his military uniform. He actually joined the Army before World War II. He joined, actually, the cavalry. He was in the horse cavalry, an officer in the horse cavalry. And before they became a mechanized unit by World War II. But anyway, so I said, before your mom was your mom, she had a life of her own, but she gave up that life so that you could have a life of your own. And then I said, and that's not surprising because her mother had done the same. And that's generation to generation. So what you teach your children by what you do is what your children will take for granted to be true. And see, that's what's happened. You have gone to public school and you think that's natural and normal. You even think that's moral. But there's no way you could have that school without forcing your neighbor to contribute to your education at the point of a gun, literally at the point of a gun, legally, because your neighbor is signed up too, hoping to get to benefit from having one purse. You see, you have one purse and you have somebody who can decide what comes out of your purse. That's socialism. You have all have this one thing in common. If you just look up the word socialism as a noun, it's defined. Socialism is a political and economic theory of social organization that advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole, which means by the elected officials of the community as a whole. In a pure democracy, you have to vote on everything. But in an indirect democracy, which is what the United States is, it's an indirect democracy, you elect lawmakers and they tell you what you're going to contribute and what you're going to get back. Now, I know people think, well, no, America is a republic. Well, America is a republic, but the United States has always been an indirect democracy created by the states, ratified by the states individually, not even legally, but ratified eventually by acquiescence, if nothing else. The Constitution was an indirect democracy for the purposes of guaranteeing to America a republic. America was a republic, but the United States was an indirect democracy. Even you can read it in the U.S. Creed, because they have a creed, because it's now become a religious institution. It's actually a theocracy, but not of God. It's a theocracy of the men who are the ruling judges of that system. And you can go read the articles if you don't follow what I'm saying. I know this all sounds strange to most people, especially new listeners, but we have hundreds of footnotes and dozens of articles, I suppose hundreds of articles by now, to back up some of these strange statements that I make so that you can understand what's really going on. It attacks almost every paradigm, or at least a part of everybody's paradigm, and shows that, no, there's a serious problem here that you need to take a look at. Because all the problems of society, you see, the economic crunch, millions of people losing their homes and their savings, and even your disease, your greed-driven medical institutions, your greed-driven pharmaceutical institutions, your greed-driven economy, your greed-driven religions, your greed-driven food production is poisoning you, poisoning your environment, poisoning your society. And you can hack away at the branches of this tree of death, or you can change your heart and say, I'm going to actually follow God. He said, thou shalt not covet. Everywhere people covet their neighbor's goods through the institutions they have created with their own hands. And you see, the United States Constitution was not created by the people in America. They were created by we, the people who signed the document. And originally, that did not include the average American. And the Supreme Court ruled that he's not a party to the Constitution. So it's not about him. It tried to limit the reins, the kidney of control, if we go back to the Hebrew, the reins of control of that government, so that it did not usurp authority over the individual. Now the individual sees rights, you know, he's not secure in his private property, he doesn't have any. They're not usurping the Constitution, you're usurping the law. You decided it was okay to covet your neighbor's goods to have free education. And if you got free education, why not free health care? And so you created the unrighteous mammon, which is a socialistic state. On a new page that we just put up called Socialism at preparingyou.com, which is one of our satellite sites. It's created by you, the people. But there's an article up on socialism, so you can use the search engine and just look up the word socialism. I have a quote that I heard years ago, and I loved it. It says, under capitalism, man exploits man, because everybody's so against capitalism. But under socialism, the process is reversed. So what does that mean, to reverse the process of man exploiting man? Well, you just do the reverse. Instead of man exploiting man, you reverse it around, and it's man exploiting man. It's just the exploitation is in the hands of another man. And the reality is what you're doing is taking a bite out of one another. Socialism is a cannibalistic spirit that says that I can take your stuff. I can take your flesh and blood. I can take your labor. I can take your children, because you're all in one purse. You go read Proverbs as to what that means. Let's all have one purse. And that's really important for us to comprehend and how that works. And unfortunately, most of us do not. And of course, Ronald Reagan, there's a little quote on there from Ronald Reagan, which, you know, I'm not advocating any political office. I think the solution is you change. But he said socialism works in two places. He probably got this somewhere else. Heaven, where they don't need it, and hell, where they already have it. Now, the interesting thing about that is that if you're seeking the kingdom of heaven, why would you need socialism? You would be giving to one another, so you don't need to force the contributions of one another because you're already giving. You're already providing health, educational, welfare through free will offerings in the perfect law of liberty, and therefore you are free. And therefore, God will protect you. But now, if you've decided to go the ways of Cain, then the gods of the world are who you must pray to, and you will cry out to them, and they will not protect you. When calamity comes, they're not going to let you in. They're not going to take care of you. They don't really love you. Their system is not based on love. It's like it says from the time of the prophets and John the Baptist, it's based on force and violence. And you're a violent people, taking from one another, throwing families out in the streets and taking widows and orphans' homes away from them because they didn't pay the tax so that you could have a free education. And so you made them in debt, and you yourself have gone into debt, and you have needs of repentance. So anyway, I was going to talk a lot about violence, and there isn't anything more violent than socialism, which why it leads to communism like we see raised up in the Soviet Union that killed millions upon millions of Russians and a lot of other people besides. Because it's a cannibalistic spirit. It is not of God. It is of Satan. It is of the world of Satan to covet one another's goods. And, you know, I saw a number of videos that people connected to, that people send me things. I can't even watch all the videos because we have a limited bandwidth. We're way out in the wilderness. This is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But it talks about violent criminals advocating strong gun control laws to foster a safer work environment and limit their exposure to risk. You know, I'm a criminal. That's what I do for a living, kind of thing. And yeah, I'm for gun control because there's a lot of stress with breaking into homes, never knowing if somebody has a gun, you know. After nearly 250,000 views of unfounded privacy violations, complaints led to the video being removed. So they actually took this video off where the criminal is talking about this idea that we need stronger gun control laws so that when I break into people's homes, I am working in a safe work environment. And of course, it's all done tongue-in-cheek, but they actually took it off. But if you want to see violence, just go see the spirit of violence in the creation of public welfare. It's not charity. It's force. It's men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. And Jesus said you are not to be that way. Yet you go into every single one of these churches and they accept that idea themselves. And of course, now what's that going to produce in society? It's going to produce more and more violence, repeated violence, time and time again. And so, you know, I can talk to you about stories of where police beat people to death. Not good policemen, but, you know, out of control police. But this is what you have. You have no hue and cry. You do not have the love. You're not, your society is not born out of love. It's born out of force. And until John the Baptist, that's what the whole world was doing. And you're back doing it again. Because 200 years ago in America, we took care of the needy by free will offerings. You have let open the door to the spirit of evil in the world. And it's permeated to every nation. And it's time that you repent and turn around and say, peace upon your house. May God be with you. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.